Good day and welcome. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports on WFYL Radio and, of course, the Digital Partners later in the evening at Red State Talk Radio and TalkStream Live worldwide. Where do we start? Do we start with Hillary or do we start with the Donald? Do we start with the hellish one or do we start with the Trump train? The bottom line is it was a big night for both of them. And we're talking about the June 7th primaries. The big enchilada was California. And I want to just go over some of the primary results because they're quite interesting. And I always try to scratch below the surface or scrape below. Whatever the case might be, sometimes you find things that you don't necessarily recognize on the surface. I'm looking at these numbers and all these folks that were supportive, creepy Cruz. And you thought that he had a shot. Well, you have to realize that he's still on the ballot. You have to realize that Kasich's still on the ballot. And most of them are still on the ballot. Not all of them. And I don't know, you know, each state might, maybe because of the declaration that was signed and the withdrawal, that maybe some of them don't appear. I don't know for certain, but I'm looking at Politico. And Politico has the complete list of all the primaries, you know, going back in time, but including if you drop below the map and you see the states that you can click on where all the primaries and caucuses were held, and then you'll see the results below, the most recent results, and the key presidential primary results by state. And we're gonna come back to California, but let's just start in Montana. You had Bernie Sanders at 51.1, Hillary Clinton at 44.6, so she loses in Montana. And she loses another state, and let me scroll down here, and that is North Dakota. Bernie Sanders, it was a blowout, 64.2 to 25.6%. So they're the two states of note that are the bearers of good news for Bernie Sanders, although too little too late. Hillary Clinton barely ekes out a victory in South Dakota, 51 to 49. New Mexico, same thing, 51.5 to 48.5. She wins. So Sanders wins two. Hillary barely wins these two. Nearly statistical tie. Then New Jersey, well, she blows Bernie Sanders out of the water. It's 63.3 versus 36.7. Now let's go right into California. And we'll just stay with hellish Hillary for right now. And all Hillary can say is everything's about a milestone. And being the first lady or the first woman, okay? It'd be a high honor to bestow upon a woman of character and a woman that has integrity and just an honest woman, okay? And sadly, that's not the case. Is Hillary highly educated? Absolutely. Is Hillary very intelligent? Absolutely. Is she conniving, power-hungry, greedy, vulture-like woman? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Woman of high accomplishment? Not really. You could say, well, first lady. Well, she didn't accomplish being a first lady. Her husband won the presidency. Okay, and Bush Sr. threw in the towel. Didn't even campaign the last month. So you go figure. And then he runs against Bob Dole. Almost anyone could beat Bob Dole, even a pineapple. Okay, that's my view on that. So sticking with Hillary, she has a huge victory in California. There's no other way to look at this. Well, there is, and I'll get to that too. In looking at the metrics, looking at the margins, looking at the actual vote count. 55.8 to 43.2. And quite frankly, Bernie Sanders, I thought, had a really good shot. He had to win California to have credibility to go into that convention and contest it. And right now, he doesn't have enough credibility. But the credibility that he does have, and that is, if Hillary's indicted, I mean, he should fight all the way. But you look at the competition that Hillary was opposed by, and you look at the caliber of competition and the numbers that Donald Trump had to get through, that was a gauntlet. Hillary had like bums of the month club. I mean, these were like, you remember the debates at the very beginning? It was laughable. I mean, really, it just looked like they just grabbed anybody. And then Bernie Sanders, you said, well, United States Senator, for very small state. I understand Vermont's a beautiful state. I haven't been to it. That's a prestigious position to hold. You know, no question, there's only 100 of them at any given time. But Bernie Sanders was considered of a long, long, long shot. Nobody thought that America was willing and ready to vote for an openly avowed socialist. Well, we were wrong. They were, and they still are. I mean, what has he accomplished in the United States Senate? I mean, he has opposed some things. He has maybe recommended some things, but he's not an accomplished United States senator. He's mostly known for being this very ultra-liberal, extreme progressive, became a quote-unquote independent, which really was a socialist, but he didn't want to go into the socialist party because I guess there's really not much happening there. So he just became an independent. But he is a socialist, and I call him Commie Sanders because if you really look at what he is all about, it's more about just unabashed communism. But where I defend Commie Sanders is the fact that the media decides to call early. I mean, we're talking about before, and then declaring Hillary the winner. And declaring Hillary the presumptive nominee. What would it have hurt for one more day? Well, I'll tell you what would have hurt. Because a lot of people in California, when they got that message. But California, I think the numbers would have been much tighter. I think there still was a possibility that he would have won. Now, I can't say that convincingly because the margins here, the spread is, it's pretty strong. I mean, it's about 12.5%. So, would that have... I still think that she can declare victory, but I still think that was extremely unfair. And I just think the whole superdelegate thing is... You want to talk about democracy, the Democrat Party or Democratic Party, and then they have the elitists in the party through the superdelegates that more or less steal the election, control the election, keep those that are in the status quo that they want to be their standard bearer. It is a highly unfair, extremely biased system. And it's a rigged system. I mean, Donald Trump is correct. And the Republicans, they're not so much better. Does Bernie Sanders have a grief? He does. But I would lobby more for his contested convention if those numbers had been tighter in California. And they're not tight enough. I mean, in politics, when you lose by 8, 10, 12, 15 points, they generally consider it a blowout. Even though in other sports and other contests, you might not see it that way. What we're going to do is I want to get into Donald Trump's. On the other side of this break, I want to get into the numbers and crunch those numbers and explain a little bit more about Donald Trump and his crushing victories, even though his competition had suspended their campaigns. There was enough of them there, and if people really, really disfavor Trump and they really want to protest Trump, and Arnold Schwarzenegger said he absolutely went to vote against Trump. So there was enough people that could have, and some people will say, well, for the cause should have, voted against him in this final round of primaries for the Republican nomination. They would have made a point. Well, Well, if they try to make a point, it ended up being pointless because there was no point made except that Donald Trump trounced right back, hold tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports Philly Freedom on WFIL Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. And we appreciate our listeners worldwide as well through so many different platforms and conveyances. But right back to this analyzing, crunching the numbers, Donald Trump, final round of primaries, the June 7th primaries. And let's go through, we'll start with the greatest, meaning the largest state, the largest prize, and let's see how Donald Trump did. 75.3. Okay, if there was a mass uprising, mass protest, and there could have been a mass protest vote, people could have voted against him. Now, Kasich, cranky Kasich, did better than creepy Cruz. And they're my characterizations, and I'm sticking to them. And you say, well, maybe you sound a little bit like Donald Trump. Well, no, I've always had catchphrases, one-liners, zingers, and they're generally original. Okay, all right. So we have Donald Trump at a little greater than 3/4 of all the votes cast for the Republican nomination in that primary. So Kasich gets 11.3, and you say, well, he's moderate, you know, middle of the road. And then you have Orange County, and you have various pockets of California that are deeply conservative. Remember, Ronald Reagan was governor twice, and Ronald Reagan won California twice running for president of the United States, and well, president and re-election. So it is possible, though the complexion, and I mean that literally and figuratively, has changed dramatically in California, although there were still large percentages of minorities, there were still large percentages of undocumented illegals, and there's still a lot of Hispanics that vote Republican that are consider themselves conservative, family values, etc. Where was the massive protestation in their votes that could have been cast? It didn't happen. Ben Carson, 3.5%. Ted Cruz, 9.2%. Kasich, 11.3%. And I guess if there was any others, they weren't listed here. Maybe when you get, well, actually, I think maybe they were removed from the ballot because of the way they had suspended their campaigns or how late, maybe when the ballots were drawn up, I'm not sure why, but this is what we have based on the reporting from California and primary results. So Trump gets 75.3%. That's with a 100% reporting. I mean, that's a trouncing. I mean, it is a huge landslide. So they had their opportunity to vote against them. They had their opportunity to have their protest vote. It did not happen, even with all this swirling controversy. So then let's just go to some other states here. And New Jersey, for instance. Donald Trump, 80.6, even a higher number. Kasich wins over Ted Cruz again, 13.3 to 6.1. And people said, well, Ted Cruz would have done just really splendidly well. No, he wouldn't have. If Kasich had done better in the Republican primaries in order to qualify, he would be a stronger candidate than Ted Cruz. So bye-bye, no more talk of Ted Cruz. Tales from the Crypt, bye-bye, see you later. No more vampire tales, okay? So let's go to Montana. Trump, 73.7. Now, Cruz did better in these smaller western states, especially if they were caucuses. So Cruz gets 9.4. Kasich, 6.9. No preference, which I think every ballot should have that. It was 4.7. Rubio, there's a blast from the past, 3.3, and there's Jeb Bush. What a disgrace, 2.1. I'm just so glad that there's no Bush. I really thought it was going to be Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio versus Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump shocked the world. They're making it look like the shock value, the surprise factor, and the celebratory factor should be on Hillary Clinton being the first woman of a major party to secure the nomination to be the presumptive nominee of one of the two major parties. Well, she had a second go around in order to achieve this. She has the name recognition and the power of the Clinton syndicate. And then she was also the first lady and co-president with Bill Clinton for two terms. So I think she had it's got a little bit of an edge. I mean, just maybe just a slight edge, right? Let's look at some other results here. New Mexico. New Mexico, Donald Trump 70.7. Ted Cruz 13.3, and that's a neighboring state to Texas. Kasich 7.6, Ben Carson 3.7, Jeb Bush 3.4, and there's good old Carly. Yeah, okay. Where's all right? So bye bye. See you. Go try to start a business. Yeah, she worked for Hewlett Packard, and she was one of the most unsuccessful CEOs. But that's not her recollection. Yeah. All right. So bye bye, Carly. 1.4. But yeah, Trump 80.6% in New Jersey. Yeah, that's pretty strong. Ted Cruz got wiped out in the East. Did he win any states in the East? Maybe it was Maine. That's what it was. Probably it was Maine. I think Ted Cruz. I think he went and stole some delegates. And yeah, he, speaking of Tales from the Crypt, he was pretty good at that. Yeah, he liked doing the back channel maneuvering. This kind of wraps up the results. In recap, we can say that Donald Trump trounced. And people had the opportunity, and some people were steaming mad, they were boiling over at Donald Trump and some of his missteps of late, and they did not come out en masse to vote against him. It didn't happen. I suspect no matter what they try at the convention, it's well, then again, that's not we the people. So we the people, no matter how dire the alarm was from the Republican establishment and the media, when it came to actual voting, they still voted in masses, in droves, for Donald Trump. That's right. Okay, we'll get to segment three after these important messages. Hold tight.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality storable foods from Numana. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or an outdoor sports enthusiast, FoodForLiberty.com has your prepackaged single-serve packs or kits for the entire family. Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. With a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Right now, FoodForLiberty.com is offering a special gift, a heavy-duty Survivor dry storage box designed for extreme bug-out conditions. This storage box is built to last, includes compass, signaling mirror, and is yours free with a $50 order. Go to foodforliberty.com right now and pick up your quality storable foods from Numana. To get the Survivor dry storage box, use promo code LIBERTY. It makes good sense to be prepared. Go to foodforliberty.com.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports on WFIL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond, thanks to Red State Talk Radio on the digital side and TalkStream Live worldwide, and our podcast directories and many other platforms and venues that have shown an interest, and we appreciate that. By the way, anytime you are looking for yours truly, Tom Donahue, you can, if you're at your favorite Freedom Station in Philadelphia, WFYL has links to podcasts for my show and other shows. So, and it'll link you right back to my Podomatic page, which I'm deeply appreciative. Red State Talk Radio also redirects to our website and ways to download or listen to our podcast. So we do appreciate that. Let me jump into a headline here that I think says more than hellish Hillary. And the headline reads, "History, boldface, uppercase, exclamation point, says Trump shatters Republican primary vote record by 1.4 million votes. The story was reported by the Gateway Pundit. And we have that listed as a headline over at TalkStream Live, TalkStreamLive.com. Another headline, Hillary Clinton rises to new heights, and how Hillary did it the second time around. The story was originally published by the Washington Post. And it's a story I'm going to focus on, not so much today, more so another time, because I do get into the media, I do talk about talk radio, and I know the majority of our listeners like the inside baseball, they like the inside scoop. More than happy to dish it out, or serve it up. So McConnell, Senator McConnell, This was the headline. McConnell, talk radio responsible for misleading GOP base, reported by the Washington Examiner. We'll get back to you, McConnell. What a creepy guy. Ugh. Imagine having to deal with that guy. Yuck. All right, well, let me get beyond just yuckiness and creepiness, okay? So Donald Trump shatters the Republican Party vote record. Now, I watched both speeches. They're almost like acceptance speeches because they both have clearly, you know, gotten to the finish line. What is it? It's Washington, D.C., District of Criminals. The Capitol will vote. I think it's just for the Democrats. Could be Republicans. It doesn't really matter. The results are more or less fixed or finalized. There was a fix for Hillary. But and they'll say, oh, well, she got more votes than Bernie. Can you imagine if Donald Trump only had like, not even the B League, not even the C League, not even the D League, well, the F League because of failures. Only one guy comes out of that lower rung, I mean, just lower bottom of the barrel, lower than B League contestants, you know, the so-called opposition to Hillary. And he continues to become a greater threat, became more and more popular, actually racked up many, many wins, and had no party support. All his support came from the grassroots. And if he would have only gone after Hillary Clinton, not played rope-a-dope, we were talking about Ali earlier in the week. That's really what Bernie Sanders did. He played rope-a-dope, saying, I don't want to just bash your brains in. He needed to go after this woman, fight in a fierce, ferocious, vigorous, super competitive way. And he didn't do it. He needed to be much greater in his confrontation. And instead, you know, he, in a few debates, they got into some squabbles. But he didn't want to touch the email, national security breaches. He wasn't comfortable talking about the Clinton Foundation. He wasn't comfortable talking about a lot of things. And so he would talk about the, you know, raising the minimum wage. You're for $12, I'm for $15. I mean, yeah, okay, big deal. And so Hillary basically realized what was working for him, what was popular, and she started to incorporate those things into her alleged agenda. Because Hillary will say and do whatever it takes. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, she's a woman that has no honor. She's a woman that will stoop to the lowest levels as long as she can achieve greater power and greater wealth and greater control. So I'm watching Hillary, and the staging of it was, I mean, it was well done, you know, for the optics, for, yeah, the breaking the glass ceiling moments. You know, making the milestones, reaching the milestones, surpassing the milestones, you know, whatever, all these, all the flattery, yeah, the well wishes, all the celebration. I mean, even down to the point where how they had her hair and makeup and all that. Now, the white, she wants to be a white knight? She wants to be angelic? No, it's still hellish Hillary. You're not getting away with that one. Hillary Clinton, hellish Hillary, starts coming up with all these little catchphrases, all these buzzwords, all these things to contrast herself with Donald Trump. And I have to say, she had probably better speechwriters. There were some speechwriters that happened to be pundits that were talking about the fact that most of that speech, and people that were close, that know the Trump family and know the inner workings of the skeletal crew that Trump has worked with, they said that it was pretty much his daughter, himself, and maybe a part-time writer, I think it was, that crafted that speech. So he didn't have, like, in Nixon in his day had Pat Buchanan as a writer. He had William Sapphire, you know, and then Ronald Reagan had some really incredible speech writers. Peggy Noonan was one of them. And so but Ronald Reagan, which people didn't realize till later, was that he would rewrite a lot of those speeches. He would go in and change substantial portions of the speech. He didn't go in and just, like, change a few words. Ronald Reagan was smarter, and he was certainly a more pensive person. He was someone that really was a deep thinker, and someone that actually was able to write and to articulate better than most people gave him credit for. And now when they look at the love letters between he and Nancy, the personal notes he sent out to hundreds if not thousands of people, just his own writings, they're realizing he was pretty smart, you know. So that was kind of interesting to discover. Most people didn't realize that at the time, and they found it out when he was either on his way out, you know, because of Alzheimer's, or when he passed on and made it to the afterlife. So I'm watching Donald Trump, and yes, it was telepromptered, but the point is that I thought there was still enough of the real Donald Trump in that speech, and he just toned it down a little bit. It was a little more polished. It was a little lower on the energy level, but I still think that he made some very salient points. I think they were very compelling arguments. I think that he was setting forward an agenda. He explained some things. I thought there was more meat on the bones. So I kind of liked it. He can't satisfy everybody, but there were some were saying, well, it was too low key, and some were trying to say that he used a teleprompter and he criticized others for using it. He's used a teleprompter on a couple occasions, but there's nothing wrong with using it. It's that heavy dependency, that almost complete reliance that politicians have and others that work in delivering speeches. So I'm not faulting him for that at all. I thought it was a pretty good speech. I thought it explained a lot. And I think that it gave us a preview, you know, the precursor of what's to come, you know, the forerunner, and I kind of like it. So I also want to give Trump credit. I know he's a man that, I don't know, maybe with his wife, maybe with his kids, maybe with people close to him, he might actually say the word, I'm sorry, or I made a mistake. He doesn't do that professionally. He doesn't do it politically. I think that's wrong-headed. I think it's I think that's unchristian. I think it's in violation of spiritual principles, and I think it's in violation of being a gracious and magnanimous and fair-minded person. But that's just my view. Well, he talked about his message being misconstrued, and I don't think it really was. I think that if he hadn't dwelled on it so much, if he just made a statement, you know, not every single rally, every single interview, asking his surrogates to ratchet up the heat. Believe me, that's not a way you're going to get the judge to give you a fair hearing or even a fair ruling. Now, it was pointed out by Michael Smirkanich, who is a lawyer, who was a talk show host in the Philadelphia area, and then he went on to Sirius, which is really not too serious on satellite. And now he's one of those commentators, just like former mayor of Philadelphia Nutter on CNN. And he is a well-educated person. You know, I mean, he was a fairly successful lawyer, and he did other things before entering talk radio. But he was very moderate and always wanted to try to get along with the Democrats and always make peace and not really cause any waves. Well, you know what Jesus said about people that are lukewarm? You know, they get spewed out of his mouth, okay? You know, he doesn't like lukewarm. Full blown, full force, you know, and you take a stand, you take a position. You know, you are either in or you're out. Either you're for or against. You know, fence straddlers wouldn't work so well with the good Lord, okay? And that was made clear in the Bible. And someone say, well, I don't refer to the Bible. Okay, well, then good. I don't refer to you, and maybe you shouldn't refer to this show. Okay? People that are so judgmental. I love it when they say that Christians are so judgmental, but I find that agnostics and atheists are much more so, without just cause. Yeah, that's right. Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports on WFIL Radio, and of course our other partners and platforms we appreciate so much. This is the final segment for today, and as I was mentioning prior to the break, that Donald Trump uses the word misconstrued, and that he felt more or less like he's been kind of like misinterpreted, taken out of context. The point is that all he had to do one or two times is simply either answer the question, or if he was the one that decided to initiate, then keep it brief to the point and move on. Our nation's business merits much more attention. Matter of fact, he is running for president of the United States. He's not running to be a celebrity, you know, reality star that's gonna blabber and bloviate about all their personal dilemmas and problems and issues. And, you know, that's really what unreality radio is that you delve into all this personal gossipy stuff, okay? The American public is concerned about Donald Trump because I think what the American public fell in love with was this was a man's man. This is a real man. This is a man with strength. This is a man with integrity. This is a man with backbone, and he's going to fight for us. And he talked about that last night, that he's never going to back down. He's going to fight for us. Well, that's all good in a speech, and he shows he has a lot of fight in him, but sometimes it's the wrong fight. I wish he could make a commitment and said, I don't care what anybody in the media or anyone in pop culture or the Hollywood crowd has to say. I wish he would worry more about what world leaders have to say. I wish he would worry more about what other politicians that he has to deal with. But more importantly, I want him to address what the American people wants. what our country, what our nation absolutely needs. That's what I want Donald Trump to address. I don't care if someone tweeted something. I don't care if someone blogged something. I don't care if someone talk radio said this or said that, or anybody in the pundit class, or anyone in the national media. And you could say, I was saying class before, the classless national media, the biased progressive liberal press overall, or the corporate regimes. I just hope that Donald Trump can hone his message. There really is no time for Twitter. You know, unless you're tweeting something about a holiday, you know, unless you're tweeting something about a policy agenda, and you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to use the bully pulpit and saying, you know, make sure that you alert your congressman or call your congressman because we want this legislation passed or overturned. You know, whatever it is. You know, then I don't mind if he and his staff construct or craft, you know, strategic tweets, you know, or Facebook posts. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But to respond to any critique or criticism is nonsense. Now, if he's asked on a newsmaker show, or he's asked and he's got a sit down interview, he, believe me, you want to address or respond in kind to direct questions, I don't have a problem with that. And I don't have a problem with him referring to anybody, if he really believes someone is crooked or a liar and not just saying it to get a reaction, I don't mind that. And I don't mind, because Hillary is the first woman. Yeah, isn't that lovely? Yeah, you broke the glass ceiling. It took you a little longer, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's still not over till it's over. Hillary has to realize that she may not get around this FBI nuisance, okay? She can downplay it all she wants, and she can lie about the fact that she says that report more or less exonerated her. It didn't exonerate her. It didn't excuse her behavior. And they're not taking a pass on this as far as we know. So if she gets indicted, the whole ball game could change. But her weak competition, I mean, backbenchers... Actually, they were below backbenchers. They were below bottom feeders, okay? They were at the bottomless pit. And for a socialist snake to come out and actually bite her and keep it close, that's how vulnerable Hillary Clinton is. That's how lacking in power and prestige she is. And so Donald Trump should be able to take advantage of that. You know, and I love the fact that he's appealing to the Bernie Sanders coalition. You know, he has a rabid following, and similar to what Donald Trump has, because of the trade issues, because of the blue collar, forgotten about, fed up class. That he, you know, they're appealing to the same group, and it's a large group, and this faction within the voting population could have a significant effect. I think that Donald Trump has the possibility, if he can tone down some of the unnecessary rhetoric, you know, be more specific in the rhetoric he uses, and be more targeted in terms of who the enemy is, and he'll do a whole lot better. And so I think it's absolutely right on, is that even though he and Sanders disagree as it relates to solutions, they do identify the same, if not similar, problems in many areas, in particular as it deals with trade and economics and protecting our working class and our blue-collar class of workers, among other things. Now, back to the criticisms of the judge. At least Donald Trump, someone finally said, stop the madness, stop, we gotta somehow... Not only stop the madness, we got to stop the bleeding, and it needs more than just a band-aid. They probably couldn't get Donald Trump to apologize for taking his private and business related issues into the public square, you know, into the political square, the public and political square. But he said he's not going to talk about it anymore. He's going to back off from it. And I don't know if he's capable of doing that. But the point is, you've made your point that you feel that this judge is biased, and not all judges that would come from a certain race or ethnicity or heritage are necessarily prejudiced or biased. Okay, so that was good. But if this would have continued, if someone hadn't gotten to him, if he hadn't had this reality check, even yours truly, I was almost going to have to say, I may have to just really strongly consider voting independent. I just can't do this. I cannot, and I just hope that Donald Trump does not put me in a position. I hope that Donald Trump doesn't push me to the edge where I say, no more. I can't take it anymore. It's like dealing with the Kardashians. You know, I cannot watch it. It's unwatchable. But Donald Trump has so much potential to do such great things, and he could prove everybody wrong, that he could truly be more of a unifier, that he could be a real doer. He could achieve the beyond anyone's estimation. And I really think that Donald Trump is a dreamer and a doer, and I think he's someone that, you know, is driven. I just don't want to see him derailed, and his the major source of derailment is not the Lindsey Grahams, it's not the GOP establishment, it's not even the media, it's himself. If he can surround himself, including his family, with a good team that just says, Mr. Trump or Donald or Dad, you know, you're letting these personal issues get in the way. Hey, you're slipping back. You know, let's stay focused. They should have these strategy sessions. And I'm not talking about the wonks. I'm not talking about the pundits. I'm not talking about, you know, the media consultants. You know, although if they have someone that's trustworthy and actually is bringing in valuable information, you know, that could be helpful in putting together, you know, the campaign playbook, if you will, then that's fine. But he has got to stay on message. He's got to stay on point. I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much to achieve. There's so many people counting on him. And we just hope and pray that he can. I think Donald Trump gave a good speech. I think Donald Trump, I love the fact that he said that he's going to unveil a speech. He's going to unveil an expose of this first lady, okay? And that her ceiling isn't so high in terms of how much she has to offer. Matter of fact, it's very low. And it's going to be very easy to puncture her so-called glass ceiling of accomplishments, her potential. But it all has to do with her trustworthiness, her credibility, her reliability. You know, as you notice in her speech, she never addressed any accomplishments except for being a woman, which I think it's great to be a woman. I have total respect for women and their abilities and their unique offerings. But the point is that just being a man or a woman is not good enough, and just being the wife of someone that was an ex-president is not good enough. And let's look at your actual record as a United States Senator and as an ex-Secretary of State, and let's see what those accomplishments are. Would be, it takes a village of idiots to destroy this country, and you have. But not quite. The patient is the United States of America, and we are going to restore our constitutional republic, whether you like it or you don't. Okay, hell is Hillary. And Donald Trump, congratulations. You know, it's a marvelous feat. It's a tremendous accomplishment to defy all the odds to get to where you are. Just don't blow it. Don't screw it up. There's too many of us counting on you, okay? Let's work together. Okay, I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports. Till we meet again, have a great night. Thank you.